All right. Paul begins this prayer and talking about this prayer. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So what is the reason that he's talking about here? For this reason I kneel before the Father. What reason?
Refers back to the beginning of chapter 3, where he also starts that.
Same thing, doesn't it?
Because I had talked last week that it's like the whole first half of chapter 3 is kind of in parentheses. It's
okay.
Like he starts with the "for this reason," and it's like, wait a minute, I got some more stuff to talk about. And then he goes back to "for this reason now, I'm going to try this again." And so it's reflecting back to chapter 2, actually.
Okay. And what are some of the things, especially in chapter 3, between the reason, the "for this reason" here, what are some of the things that Paul has been emphasizing, we've been studying so far? What are some of the key things here that he's going to be praying about here?
Ross, I think it partially is the freedom that we have through Christ.
Okay, freedom in Christ. All right, what else? Yeah, the dividing wall. Remember he talked about the dividing wall has been taken away, it's been torn down. He's going to talk about one body. There's one group of believers. And not only that, but another thing that he's emphasized in this whole thing is the church, right? The fact that God gave us a church, and we have that, and that we're one body together in that church. So he's been really focusing. And then in chapter 3, he talked a lot about the mystery. Okay? And what was the mystery?
Christ.
One in Christ, but mainly that the Gentiles are able to be saved, right? The salvation includes the Gentiles. So in talking about all of those kinds of things, now he's getting ready to do a prayer. All right? That concerns all of these people, Jews and Gentiles as one, right? And all of the things that he's been focusing on up to this point in this letter. So when you keep that in mind, it really helps to understand some specific things that he says in this prayer. All right, so let's take a look at this. All right, he says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches," all right, which he's already talked about in terms of the riches that we have in Christ, right? Okay, "out of these glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." All right? So let's talk about that concept for a moment. His Spirit in your inner being. What specifically does that tell us that we really need to know?
That the Holy Spirit indeed dwells within us.
Exactly. The Holy Spirit is living and dwelling within us. Okay? Which is something that I've mentioned this before. In the church, we haven't, but in the last, I would say 15 years or so, been really receptive to the idea that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. For so long, we've been wrong on this in teaching that the Holy Spirit, and we still have people today that will insist the Holy Spirit only works through the Word. Well, that's not what Paul says right here in his prayer. Okay? Not what he says right here. He's talking about the Spirit of God in our inner being. All right? And further than that, he identifies where is Christ living?
In our hearts.
So, and again, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in our inner being. And the result of that is so that Christ can dwell in our hearts. Okay? Dale?
Well, it's kind of emphasizes that being a Christian isn't just a change in your way of thinking or something that now you've become convinced of and you believe, or it's not something you do. Being a Christian is now something you become. It's a complete transition to the point where, you know, now then God and the Spirit, Jesus, is all now working through you. It really emphasizes that process of repentance where you are now a changed person than what you were before. It's not merely that, okay, well, now on Sunday mornings I choose to go to church, or, you know, well, now that I've heard, I believe, or I've even got faith, but this is now, you're now different than what you were before.
Yes, absolutely. And that difference, I think, primarily is that it's no longer me, okay, but it's Christ who is living in me, okay? That's a huge change, isn't it? Okay, that I become, and my body is, as Paul would talk about, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ is dwelling within us. And when Christ is dwelling within someone, you can't help but change. Okay? Can't help but change. So he is dwelling within our hearts, all right? And how is that dwelling taking place? This is really, really important that we understand this. Through faith, okay? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Okay? Without faith, Christ cannot dwell in our hearts. All right? So that dwelling takes place through faith. You know, we've had a lot of people that have had heart surgery, some open heart surgery. So the doctors go in there, they cut you open, they open up your chest and spread open the rib cage, and they look in there and they go, ah, I see Jesus in there, right? Never happened. It's never happened, okay? Because it's not a physical thing, right? Okay? It's not like you can look in there and go, yeah, he's up here in, you know, in the aorta or whatever it is, or the auricle or whatever it's called. No, he doesn't have an apartment in that part of your heart. All right, he dwells in the whole thing, but it is a spiritual thing, and it takes place only through faith. Okay? So we have to have faith. In other words, what I think Paul is praying about here is that we have faith enough that allows Christ to live and dwell within us. All right? Any thoughts there? Wes?
I think that is basically the mystery of what, after people, especially say someone that knows a person before they met Christ or before they come to Christ.
Okay.
And to see how they change their life, you know, their way of living, their whole personality, the things that they do. They could have had a sort of a nasty personality. They could have been a selfish person. They could have been, just a what we would call a human being, you know. And to see them act differently, to be have compassion and to care about people and to do things.
Okay.
It seems out of the ordinary to them, to the person that knows them, and they don't understand what happened to you. How are you doing this? That is the mystery they don't understand, because they don't see your physical change, but it's your inner person that changes, and it's puzzling, because here you were, I saw you last week. A month ago, it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
It's not instantaneous, right?
But it's still to the fact that they saw you or they know you, especially someone that's been around you long enough, it's recently that they saw you.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you you sound different. You're not doing the same thing. You know, you used to walk around with your clothes hanging off your neck, and you walk around like somebody got sense, right. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, people, in some cases, it may be that drastic, in some cases it's not, but, you know, for a person that has a nasty personality, people shy away from them, but then when they see that you, hey, you know, you're not as rough as you used to be. You don't curse them as much as you used to. As a matter of fact, I don't even curse them at all now. I remember when, and that's the first thing people say about you. Oh, I remember when they used to do this and when they used to do that. Now they're gonna, they think they're so holy, they think they're so this, that, and the other. But it's going to cause an effect. It's going to cause a reaction to people that see you, and they're going to know. But if you're still doing the same thing you were doing and still professing Christ, then something wrong with that picture.
Yeah. Well, and I think as you're saying that, the thought that comes to my mind is we think about it like we do the wind. You know, we can't see the wind, right? Can anybody see the wind when it's blowing? No, but we can see what? We can see the effects of the wind, can't we? And I think it's the same way. Nobody can look into your heart and see Jesus in there, okay, physically, but we can see the effects of Jesus living in someone's life, can't we? We should be able to, all right? And so we see those changes that come upon that person over time. They're growing in Christ, and that's as it should be. You see? Kathy?
I was just going to ask about that, because many times I'll come across people that I don't feel any different. I don't feel any Holy Spirit. I can't speak in tongues. I can't do all those gifts that were given right. back then, and it's not for us to have, I know. But I think as our faith increases, then we'll be able to feel or maybe know that we're walking the path that the Lord wants us to walk. And faith comes by doing and hearing and all those other things.
Right.
So like you said, as you get older, then that Holy Spirit becomes more apparent in your life.
Yes.
But as a young Christian, you're not probably going to feel much different until you have really focused on Him first.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that what I've experienced with folks, and I know for myself personally, when you have somebody who's just baptized into Christ, most of the time they feel really great. It's like this weight of sin has been lifted off of them, and they feel that. Okay? Even though it's a simple thing, they feel that. But I think from there, you're right, it's kind of like, okay, I've got to grow, and there's a lot to learn, and all those kinds of things. But we see that happening gradually with folks. Although, typically, when someone is a young Christian, they're usually typically on fire for the Lord. They want to tell other people and things of that nature. I think that the thing that you were describing kind of, in my mind, comes oftentimes from where people have been taught wrongly about various things. Oh, you'll be able to speak in tongues and you have all these gifts and so forth. And they're expecting that to happen. And because it doesn't, then they're feeling like, well, wait a minute, there's something wrong with my faith here, because I'm not able to do these things. That just comes from false teaching. It is really, I think, the result of a lot of that kind of thing. People are misled into thinking they're not a true faithful Christian because they can't do these things. We have to recognize that with those we have opportunity and try to teach them correctly about that. But I think that's where a lot of that comes from. Chuck?
Christians and understanding the Holy Spirit, the concept, the gift, what it is. Because even in trying to understand our own character, our own personality, what makes us, it's hard for us to understand. It's like using the term, are you well?
Right.
Well, what does that mean? Well, we know when we're ill. It's kind of like that, well, I'm not well. But what is well? And again, it's a vague, broad
right.
definition. But we all want to have wellness. We all rather be well than to be ill. And so to have the Spirit is, well, you can't touch it, just like you can't
right.
touch wellness. And again, the analogy of opening up your body, well, dwells.
Yeah.
And again, just like with any condition of our heart, again, our personality, our character, whatever that is made of, you know, if you put garbage in, the old saying goes, garbage out.
Yeah.
So if we are not good hosts, and again, that's our responsibility, good hosts of the indwelling of the Spirit, we can quench that Spirit. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That is very real. Just like our wellness, if you will, trying to give us a perspective, a comparative, that if we don't take care of ourselves, eat right, exercise, you know the whole thing.
Right.
So we can always do better. Same with our spiritual wellness.
Right.
We can do better so we ourselves become better hosts, and then the Spirit will have a place to grow, again, to encourage us within, give us insight, give us a whole lot of better, you know, of great things that the Spirit does. And again, we know that to be true because once you're in that relationship, once you've created that wellness within yourself spiritually for the Holy Spirit indwelling, it will cause you to do things that you never ever thought you could, or motivate you to do something out of the blue that you ordinarily would not, because the Holy Spirit said, go to that person, talk to that person, and in fact, I want you to go get your mask. Go get that extra mask that you had in the car and go back and take it to her right now. So, again, the blessing is we did that. And the young lady, don't know her, the young lady who was taking care of us, just told us that she needed something, needed a mask for her mom.
Okay.
And again, one instance of many instances.
Yeah.
Again, so again, I would say all of us need to strive to encourage a wellness, spiritual wellness within us so that the Holy Spirit can indwell and grow.
Right. Okay. And that goes back to the things that Wes and Dale were talking about, is the change that takes place. You know, when Christ is dwelling within us, spiritually, those changes start taking place and they become more and more evident in our lives. Judy, you had your hand up a moment ago?
Yeah, well, I was going to kind of touch on the same thing. You know, it brings me back when I'm a child, I tried to emulate my mom and dad.
Okay.
Always, okay. Now that they're gone, they're still in me.
Okay.
That's what makes me. Okay. And a lot of times I can go and say, hello, Mom, because of something I did or you know, something, the way I acted or whatever. Once Christ is within us, we're going to experience the same thing. We're going to want to act like them. You know, we want to act like Christ. We
right.
want to do things like He would have done it. And it's still for me as an old woman, I still want to emulate my mom and dad.
Okay.
Because of the values that they've taught me.
Right.
And through studying, Christ has taught us a lot of values. So we want to use them or use Him to act like Him.
Yes, I agree. Although I will tell you this, a Geico cannot keep you from becoming like your mother. It can't save you a lot of money on your insurance, but it can't keep you from becoming like your mother or your father. But that's a good point, though, is that, you know, that's really, I think, we look at our Father in heaven and we want to be more like Him. Well, how do we accomplish that? It's through Christ and the Spirit of God living and dwelling within us, okay? So that part of prayer, he prayed that out of God's glorious riches, all of the blessings that he's been talking about, all of the things that God has already done, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, okay? Then secondly, he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, all right, now let's talk about that concept for a moment. Rooted and established. Okay. How important is a root system to a plant?
It makes it live. It survives by everything.
Well, what are the kinds of things, what do the roots do?
That's where they get their water, they get their nutrients from the soil.
Okay, they get their water, their nutrients, that's how they get fed. But what else do roots do?
They keep it upright.
They keep it upright, and they also keep going, Denise.
Well, they keep it upright, they keep it from falling over in the wind. I'm not sure where you're going.
I think the roots is what stabilizes the plant. Okay, keeps it from blowing away in the wind and so forth, okay? Keeps it from falling over. So not only do the roots feed, but they also give strength and stability to the plant. So Paul here talking about this idea of being rooted and established, okay? That we are two things happening. We're being what? We're being fed, okay? And we're being what? Stabilized.
Because if you cut a flower, it's not going to stand upright unless you put it in some sort of container that
right.
supports it. It cannot stand up by itself.
Exactly. Exactly. Beverly, do you have your hand up? Oh, okay. So we need to understand what Paul here is talking about being rooted and established in what?
Love.
In love. Okay? Is there anything in this whole universe that is more powerful than love?
God right. is love.
Can't, well, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. God is the most powerful being in the universe, and the Bible says He is love, right? So there is no force, there is nothing more powerful than love in this universe. Okay? Everybody with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when Paul says that we would be rooted and established in love, he's talking about being rooted and established in the most powerful force that exists in this universe. Okay? So we know then, being with that kind of power, all right, we know we're going to be constantly fed
and constantly,
stabilized and protected.
So if our foundation is anything else other than love, that's how you end up with people who call themselves Christians,
right.
but they're self-righteous and they're constantly running other people down, or their motives aren't pure if they're not based in love.
If they're not based in love, it's not going to work. But keep that in mind, that he's talking about this and says, I'm praying that you're being rooted and established in love, okay? Now, having that, when we are rooted and established in love, okay, that having that happen, that you may have power together with all the saints. Okay? Now, what kind of power do we have? The power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, who is love, right? So we just said a moment ago, there's no power above that in the universe, right? It's the most powerful force there is in the universe, all right? So having that kind of power together with all the rest of the saints. Okay, when the saints are, and what has he been talking about through this whole letter here up to this point? We mentioned earlier, unity and bringing the church together, Jews and Gentiles all together in one and so forth. So all the saints together, you see how the power of this force gets, I mean, it's just amazing. Okay, when all the saints are rooted and established in that power, there's no end and no stopping what can happen for God. Okay? So with all of that, with that power, he wants us to have that power, okay, so that we can grasp. All right? We can grasp a few things here. First of all, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Right? That we can grasp that. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but there's some parts of this love of Christ that I haven't been able to grasp yet. All right? I've talked about this before. The whole concept of Jesus taking my place on the cross, taking what I deserve, doing that knowingly that that was what was going to happen to him coming here. I still have a difficult time getting my mind wrapped around and grasping that kind of love. Okay?
The next phrase tells you why.
Yeah.
It says this love surpasses knowledge.
Exactly.
We can't know.
We can't understand it all.
So it's not unique to any one individual. Once you mature, then you'll understand God's love. It says we'll never fully understand.
Not fully. Chuck?
Yeah, I'm of the mind that logic, whatever definition you use, logic is not love.
Right, I agree with that.
Love is not logic. There are two separate, distinct entities.
Yeah.
And you cannot use one logic to justify the other. Otherwise, Christ never, ever would have gone to the cross.
Yeah.
Love surpasses everything.
Passes all that, yeah. Yeah.
It trumps logic. Because love does, of course we don't know that. Those that know that love would cause a mother to go into a burning building to drag out her child. That a soldier would go fight foreign wars, protect his country. Mm-hmm. Love, they'll bring an innocent man to the cross to die for all of mankind forever.
Yeah. Charlotte?
And like with all the stuff that's going on now in the world, this is a prime example for us to demonstrate Christ's love.
Okay.
And I know a whole lot of us didn't. We jumped right on that bandwagon with all the foolishness. And I think that's sad if we're calling ourselves Christians.
Right.
Why are we over there on that side? Because you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. If it wasn't wrong, people wouldn't be running around acting crazy like they are. But Christians jump right on that bandwagon with all of these bad people doing all of this bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought it was sad because I listened to some people talk about God yesterday, but what are you talking about today? And it frustrated me so because I was like, well, we not just talk about loving, but today you watching this TV, you stand right there and you're right there with those people. I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
And I try to remove myself because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to react like the people are acting in the world.
Right.
I can't let one person dictate how I supposed to be when I know Christ already told me.
Right.
So that's a prime example of what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, what we have to do is we see this stuff going on, we've got to separate ourselves from that. You know, because again, if we just jump right in there and go along with what everybody's doing, then what's the benefit of having Christ in us?
Right. You know? How are we going to teach?
And how
are you going to come back the next day
and
try to tell them about Christ when you were right with them that day?
Yeah.
No,
Oh, yeah. So he wants us to be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love that Christ has. And then to know this love that does surpass knowledge. In other words, the world cannot understand, you know, any of this stuff. Okay? It's difficult, as I was saying, it's difficult for those in Christ to grasp. You know, going to completely grasp that. I've talked about before the looking at the idea of that if I had a whole mob of people that were gathered outside of my house and you know, they had evil intentions and they were saying, send out your son to us, okay, and I know what they're going to do to him. They're going to beat him, they're going to abuse him, and they're going to kill him, okay? You know what? Come and get him at your own risk, because I got guns.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to give up my son. Mm-hmm. All right? I don't love anybody that much. I'm just being honest, okay? I haven't grasped that love that way yet. I don't love you that much. Now, I will gladly, and I have, laid my life down for other people. I give up my life. But don't ask me to give the life of my child. Not going to happen. Okay? But that's exactly what God did for us. I can't really get my mind wrapped around that He loves me that much, that He would send His Son knowing what was going to happen to Him, knowing what I would do to Him because of my sins. And not only that, but He keeps on forgiving me when I mess up. Okay? That is the love of Christ. All right, Judy?
Well, God's love is infinite. There is no ending to
right.
it. There is no depth to it. Whereas we as humans, we can say we love like Christ, but we still have a stopping point.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, you know, if you want my child, my love's going to end right
yeah.
there, you
yeah.
know. And so this is something we still have to learn. And really, love should humble us.
Mm-hmm.
Love humbles you because you are willing to do anything for somebody that you love. And God's love is this way, but there's no ending to it. It
right.
just keeps giving and keeps giving. And I wish we as humans could reach that point.
Yeah, it is wide and long and high and deep.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that the journey of the life of a Christian is one of experiencing that more and more and learning and feeling it more and more as we go along. But I'm not sure that we will ever completely grasp it, okay, this side of heaven. Okay. But it is something that we strive for and we grow in,
mm-hmm.
is grasping that love. And then he says that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Okay? The full measure of all the fullness of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to you? How do you understand that? To be filled with the full measure of all the fullness of God.
I think it's talking about taking on God's personality.
Okay.
As much as we can. Let God indwell within you so deeply.
Okay. Christ is the full measure of God.
Exactly.
Right? And we've already seen where he talks about us having Christ dwell within us, right? In our hearts. Right? So the more that we allow Christ to dwell within our hearts, the more we become like him. Okay? Now, don't anybody misunderstand. That does not mean we become deity. Okay? That's no way, shape, or form is it referring to that. But it is that we are conforming to the likeness of Christ in our own lives. Okay? If Christ is the fullness of God, all right, then we are filled to that measure of all the fullness of God by having Christ dwelling within us. We get the full benefit, in other words. Okay? We get the full benefit. There's no, I'm just going to give you a half cup of this, okay? He gives us the whole thing. God does not withhold any, and what is the real context of this whole part talking about? It's his power, right? God does not withhold any of his power from us. Okay? We are empowered to do what God calls upon us to do. Now, so when we start making excuses as to why we can't do what he tells us to do, you see a problem with that? We're not living up to the full measure okay, of the fullness of Christ. We're denying at least some of his power to work in our lives. Chuck?
Of course, our challenge for all of us is to remember he never, ever gives us anything more than we can handle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it may seem a challenge to you, but he knows you can handle it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're saved. Pack your bags and go to Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
For a missionary or whatever, for example. I mean, there's just so many things. Even just going across the neighbor, I mean, go talk to that person.
Yeah.
A stranger who's walking your street, go talk to that person. Again, thousands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He wouldn't send you to do something that he didn't empower you to do. Oh, that's right. The bottom line.
And that's,
okay.
And that's for us, again, to be mature and understand that.
Okay.
To know that he will never, ever, ever give you more than you can handle.
Okay. All right, now, the last part of this, okay, how much is he able to do through us and with us? Okay. Verse 20, to him, that is God, who is able to do how much? Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Okay? That you cannot out-imagine God. We can make excuses, okay? But you cannot out-imagine God. He can do immeasurably more. Anything you can come up with, okay, he can do more. All right? And so, but again, according to what? And again, that's what this whole context is talking about. According to what? His power. His power. Not my power. His power. Not your power. His power. See, typically when we start making excuses as to why we can't do this or that, whose power are we relying on?
Our own.
Our own. Okay, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. All right? Well, yeah, perhaps on your own you can't, but with God's power, there's no reason why you can't do it. You see? It is according to his power, and where is that power already?
Within us.
It's already working within us. Mm-hmm. Okay? We just need to tap into that power a lot more. It's already there. It's already working in us. We just got to release it. All right? Okay? And then finally, verse 21, where's the glory go?
To him.
That to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So when we see, and really the essence of this prayer is all about understanding and seeing God's Spirit, his power, living and working within us, that there is nothing that we cannot accomplish, okay, that God has given us to do. And when we're doing that, the result of that is that his church and him get the glory. Okay? We have to remember that, because what we are doing is not intended to bring us glory. Okay? It's about the glory of his church and of him. That's the result of when we are allowing his power to live and dwell and work within us to do what he has given us to do. All right? Okay, any last thoughts, comments, questions? Anybody? All right, we're going to go ahead and stop right here, and we'll begin with chapter 4 next week. All right, thank you all very much.